Well, happy Sabbath and almost Sabbath for some of you. Glad we are here once again, safely through another week. I hope you can all say with that famous hymn. I'd like to share a small story with you, although it's not a small story. It's a little snippet from a book called The Path to the Throne of God by Sarah Peck. And it's a quote from that book. It says, an assurance of answered prayer. The Father is more willing to give than we are really concerned to ask. Jesus says to us, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7, verse 7. This promise is absolute and certain. Sometimes we may not recognize God's answer to prayer. A story is told of a woman who prayed for patience. And God sent her a green cook, someone who's just starting out, which to her was a great trial of faith. Was her prayer answered? Yes, because the trying of your faith and my faith, work of patience, James chapter 1, verse 3. Here's a quote from the Desire of Ages 667. She says, every sincere prayer is heard in heaven. It may not be fluently expressed, but if the heart is in it, it will ascend to the sanctuary where Jesus ministers, and he will present it to the Father as his own desire in that soul's behalf, beautiful and fragrant with the incense of his own perfection. End of quote. And another quote to finish off, Ministry of Healing, page 474. In the future life, this is so comforting too. In the future life, the mysteries that here have annoyed and disappointed us will be made plain. We shall see that our seemingly unanswered prayers and disappointed hopes have been among our greatest blessings. Much to look forward to. Yeah, amen, was for our best good. Wow. Amen and amen. I've chosen for tonight's opening song a song I think some of you might be familiar with. It is called Over the Line. And if anyone knows the song and would like to take a line, please feel free. I'll start us off after a slight sip, and welcome to those coming into the room. Oh, tender and sweet was the Father's voice as he lovingly called to me. Come over the line, it is only a step. I'm waiting, my child, for thee. Over the line, hear the sweet refrain. Angels are chanting the heavenly strain. Over the line, why should I remain? With a step between me and Jesus. But my sins are so many, my face so small. Lo, the answer came quick and clear. Thou needest not trust in thyself at all. Step over the line, I'm here. over the line, hear the sweet refrain. Angels are chanting the heavenly strain. Over the line, why should I remain? With a step between me and Jesus.
But my flesh is so feeble with tears, I said, and the pathway I cannot see. I fear if I try, I may sadly fail, and thus dishonor thee. Over the line, hear the sweet refrain. Angels are chanting the heavenly strain. Over the line, why should I remain? With a step between me and Jesus.
The world is so cold, I cannot go back. Press forward, I surely must. I'll lay my weak hand in his wounded palm. Step over the line and trust. Over the line, hear the sweet refrain. Angels are chanting the heavenly strain. Over the line, I will not remain. I'll cross it and go to Jesus. Strangely, those last two verses, those two lines aren't there, but that's what's in the original. It doesn't end with a sadness. It ends with, I will not remain. I'll cross it and go to Jesus. And that is what is before each and every one of us, as long as we live and the probation of our lives still exists. Praise God. So good to hear you sing, dear bro. And thank you again for giving us an update on how things are going. I'm sure there's a lot more you could share. Looking forward to testimony time. Well, here we are on Sabbath on this 19th of August 2023, or the 18th of August, depending where you are, or what time you might even happen to listen to this recording. Glad you could be with us as we continue our journey through Revelation chapter 22. And before we continue that journey and have a review of what we looked at last week, let's have a word of prayer. And would a brother or sister like to offer that for us? Please feel free, and thank you so much for doing so. I'm glad you could all be with us.
Heavenly Father, thank you so very much that we're a day closer to getting off of this wicked world. Thank you that the Sabbath is here for many of us and will soon be here for some. Thank you also for the great privilege of meeting together in the name of Jesus and laying aside all the cares and perplexities of this past week at the feet of our Savior, and for being able to rest in his love and to sing praises to his name and to learn more of the precious testimony of Jesus. We pray that your presence will be with us, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, as well as heavenly angels around each listening heart. Please, dear Spirit, open our understanding to the truth. Please speak through our dear brother as he opens the word of life, and help us to see more clearly the truths, sometimes beneath the surface, that is in the very last chapter of thy holy word, last chapter of the last book of thy holy word. We also pray that you'll be with all of those who are unable to attend. Please grant them a wonderful Sabbath rest and bring them into fellowship with us soon. Please also be with my dearest mother and wife and other brethren and sisterin in the last half of California or in Mexico or in Nevada, Arizona, that are going through the hurricane or tropical storm that's coming north from the Pacific coast, which is very rare. Help the winds and the rain not to be too extreme, and thank you for your divine protection over them. We thank you so very much that you're in control of all things, that we can bring all of our burdens to our Savior and leave them with him. He is our burden bearer. We are not. And thank you for bringing apparent defeat, roadblocks, to a great victory for thy cause, and for the spreading of thy truth, and for the deliverance of thy people. Thank you also for the precious testimony from the spirit of prophecy that our dear brother read, that talks about the greatest perplexities and tribulations that we went through are actually the greatest blessings that we needed. And please help us to focus on the positive instead of the negative in these great times of trial. Thank you for thy love and for allowing us to meet here in the name of Jesus. In his name, amen.
Big amen. Thank you, dear bro. Thank you very much. Okay. Well, let's put the Bible up. That'll be a fantastic start, wouldn't it? Bring the Bible up. And so let's review what we looked at last week. We read verses 2 to 4, and we found the street of streets, you know, the street with the definite article mentioned in Revelation 21 and 22 by way of distinction, the main street, the broad way, the great avenue. Seems to be no doubt the Judah Gate referring to, in particular, if you were to go through that main street to walk it. The Tree of Life we found is mentioned only 3 times in the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 2 and 3, and three times at the end of the Bible, Revelation 2 and 22. And the last time will be in verse 14 when we get there. It's the one and only Garden of Eden that has the tree of life in it that perpetuates life, and which is interesting when you think about it, because for the saved, it's not that they now have immortal life and they're independent of God. Oh, no. If they don't have access to that tree of life and the river of life that proceeds from the throne of God, there's going to be problems. There's that constant reliance, and that's our privilege now in the spiritual kingdom of grace that we're in by God's grace to live out in us, to prepare us. We have a title to heaven, and right now we're gaining a fitness for heaven. And we also read that from one new month to the next, or as the Bible puts it, one new moon to another in Isaiah 66, we are told that they go up to worship God. And of course, each month we found in the verses we covered last week that we're going to eat new fruit each month, which is going to be glorious, I'm sure, ever tasty and refreshing and perpetuating life in the saved. And then we looked at the redeemed will serve as Christ's ambassadors. That was a portion of what will the redeemed be doing with God, reigning with him. The redeemed will serve as Christ's ambassadors to the universe, testifying to their experience of God's love. Their greatest delight will be to glorify God. The saved will have an experience unlike any of the unfallen beings on the unfallen innumerable planets, and of course, the angels. We also looked at the fact that the conditions of the future life, not just in the book of Revelation, where all books of the Bible meet and end, but in the throughout the Bible, the conditions of the future life are described in negative terms. And what's meant by that is the enumeration of the things that annoy us here, that tempt us, and that will not be in the restored state makes a greater appeal to us than an attempted description of things beyond our comprehension. And it doesn't matter who you talk to, everyone will agree, unbeliever or not, whatever their background might be, they love to see the things that annoy and hurt and don't like the things that come with the results of sin. Even the devil hates it. Well, there's a, do you want to share that, bro, audibly, or do you want to read that? Share your thought?
No, the thought came to me as you were mentioning the word ambassadors to other worlds, that there is a specific number, the 144,000, that are definitely high ambassadors, the bride, ultimately, the true church. I just wondered if each one is an ambassador, then perhaps there's 144,000 other inhabited worlds. Each one has an ambassador. Anyway, I just a thought.
That's an interesting thought. Yeah, as you said, they're definitely got a special privilege, the 144,000. And, you know, you look back on the pioneers of the FCA church, those who came from the first and second angel's messages, and then the rise of the third angel, the pioneers, and you think, my, they should be a part of the 144,000 And of course, definitely candidates, but they have seen death and they will indeed have a special resurrection and meet with the 144,000, but not be part of them. Well, that brings us to Revelation chapter 22 and verse, that's roughly what we looked at last week, a bit here and a bit there. So we're up to verse 5, and who would like to read that for us? And maybe I should make it a bit bigger for us so it's not, oh, look at that, I've got a photo. I've got an image. I'll just make it a bit bigger so it's easier for us to follow and focus. There we go. And go right ahead.
And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. What a word picture is presented there. No candle, like they would have needed in John's day, of course. They didn't have electricity like we enjoy. A word picture emphasizing the insignificance of created luminaries in the presence of God, which would include the sun made on the fourth day. They will pale into nothingness in the presence of the glory of the divine person. I have a quote from a Great Controversy. I'll put it in the room, but before I do that, I'll just copy. It's interesting what Brother Bob just brought out before, thinking of the 144,000. Does this mean just thinking in general terms, does this mean they will reign over one another or over other worlds? Just the same, let alone the 144,000. And it's a good question. I thought of it that my sister Lynn just kindly read. It says, and they shall reign forever and ever. And well, actually, before I go further on that, I'll put a Great Controversy quote in the room. Okay. Oops. Okay. Gonna make a bit of room. Righto. So here's a quote from the Spirit of Prophecy. I think it's got Great Controversy. Would someone like to read it for us? Probably you can't because it's too big. We'll just reduce that. There we go. Okay, we're going to have to draw out of that one. I can't get it without it being too difficult. Okay, I'll just read it to us all. So Great Controversy quote from page 676. It says, in the city of God there shall be no night. None will need or desire repose. Wow. Wow. There will be no weariness in doing the will of God and offering praise to his name. We shall ever feel the freshness of the morning and shall ever be far from its close. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. Revelation 22:5. The light of the sun will be superseded by a radiance which is not painfully dazzling. Isn't that comforting to know? We often think about the sun and it's dazzling, that's for sure. You want to be blind? Just look at that for a little while. The light of the sun will be superseded by a radiance which is not painfully dazzling, yet which immeasurably surpasses the brightness of our noontide. The glory of God, and you can really appreciate that there, those who are experiencing summer, yet which immeasurably surpasses the brightness of our noontide. The glory of God and the Lamb floods the holy city with unfading light. The redeemed walk in the sunless glory of perpetual day. What a special light that is going to be. Sorry, I couldn't put that in the room. I've never had that issue before. I think it's because I've got a different document on the same Word document. So in looking at, there's a question, I think, or a comment. That is a big wow, as I think of how now I am overwhelmed with so much of my proverbial plate to think that there no weariness, tiredness. Amen. What sweet rest for his servants. Amen. Now, when Sister Lynn read, I've got it on the big, it's going to focus just on that verse. When Sister Lynn read on, and they shall reign forever and ever, I put the question to you all, does this mean they'll reign over one another or over other worlds? And Brother Bob sort of somehow knew I was going to bring that question up somehow. Holy Spirit. And I think I'm just not using this as the 144,000, but just in general, that's how I would be looking at verse 5. Of course, we were talking about 144,000 earlier. But I'd like to put a quotation in the room that helps us understand where they're going to reign and what they're going to reign over according to Bible statements. And I'll just bring it out. Not that it'll be new to you, but I guess in one way it will be instructive. I certainly found it instructive when I think about it. There has been put forward by some in the world that all the redeemed will rule over one world. And I remember hearing a preaching of that many years ago on a tape. But it's interesting because the Bible's pretty clear in terms of the general, you know, the saved. So I'm not talking about the 144,000, but the saved in general. So we're told, for instance, in Daniel 7:17-18, it says, these great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. And of course, I've underlined the particular points. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom. Now, what kingdom is that? And possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. It doesn't say it in that verse. But Daniel 7 verse 22 goes on, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that that the saints possessed the kingdom. Of course, the first quote and the second quote, they're taking over the kingdom that were ruled by those four kingdoms that came before the rock that comes after, even Christ and his kingdom. So it's quite clear it's everything to do with the earth. Daniel 7:27 goes even into more detail, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven, so you can see the significance being the earth, shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. And of course, there's a real telling one now. You get just the earth in it. I think I shared this before, but it's quite good to look at it again. It says in Revelation 5:10, and hast made unto us our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. You remember Jesus said in Matthew, I think it's 5, in the Beatitudes, he said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I'm sure there are many other statements you could get, but you can see what the kingdoms that came before the kingdom of Jesus comes, it was on this earth, obviously, the kingdom spoken of in Daniel 7. And so that's a general statement. But in regards to the 144,000, well, we know it's certainly different. They have a temple outside the New Jerusalem that they particularly only can enter, which has 8 hills. We looked at that in previous studies on Revelation 21. Do they have something beyond that? We shall see, either by being one of them, wouldn't that be glorious, or knowing those, even though we're not a part of the number, but still among the redeemed, saved, where we can actually say, I am forever saved. And no one can say, you shouldn't say that, you can say you got the hope of being eternally saved. Not once justified, always justified. There will come a time when it will be a reality. Eternally saved, we can safely have on our lips. Okay, so with that thought, we have presented, I'll bring the Bible back up actually. There we go. I think I'll just leave it like that. It's much easier. No longer will they be under the oppressive hand of some persecuting power, you know, including what's yet to come. You know, you think of the second beast of Revelation 13 in its persecuting state. They will enjoy the freedom and abundance of kings. You know, it's been said that, and it's true, the new heavens and the new earth are going to be forever new. In this old earth that you and I all know, it is often said that all good things come to an end. The best of the good news regarding the new earth is that it will never come to an end. Then will come to pass those lyrics from the Hallelujah chorus. The kingdom of this world is become the kingdom. That should probably be plural. The kingdoms of this world is become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 11:15 compared with Daniel 2:44 and 7:27. And scripture says, every creature will join in the anthem, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. That's Revelation 5:13. And I'm thrilled, sister put in the room, it is clear. That's what makes it. I think I was taught, is Lucy here? No, no, she's here. Not that I'm going to say something that she's not going to be happy with, just curious. Lucy and I, you know, we talk about things like, but sometimes the Bible is not clear. And I said, you're right. Sometimes there are things that are said in one place that it is not clear without going to other places in the Bible. And with those other places, then you get a full picture on that particular topic, what God is saying. And that's glorious. It actually just gives you more information, basically, and makes sense of it. Yeah, need for special, more intense study. Absolutely. Absolutely. What more can tax our minds and our brains and our thoughts than reading the Word of God? We'll always be finite. He'll always be infinite. He wants to give us everything we need, and we just have to have a faith that we'll receive everything he designs for us to have. Yeah, amen. Isaiah 28, right? Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. I remember a JW was picking me up years ago. He said, oh, no, that was the Jews' problem. And, of course, it's spoken of in a negative way, and it's also spoken of in a positive way in Isaiah 28. Before I go further, I have some quotes from the Spirit of Prophecy. I was going to ask if someone would like to read them or share in reading. Does anyone have anything they'd like to share further and verbally? Feel free.
I was thinking about Genesis 1:1 and that whole chapter of Genesis. There's no mistaking about which day that God desires to be worshiped on. He states it very plainly, because as he brought light into the world, he also brings it all the way through Genesis, in that he's, everything he created, he said, was good. And then he went on to the next creation. And he declared that everything he created was good. And then when he comes to the seventh day, and actually he started creating on Sunday. So he worked on Sunday. He brought light on Sunday, and that can be taken several different ways. The light of his love, the light of his message. And so when you get to the seventh day, and he says, this is the day I want you to rest. This is my holy day. And in it, he designates what he wants you to do on Sabbath. He doesn't want you to work. He wants you to rest and think about his creation. Everything he created brings rest. And that's why Sabbath, the last of his creation or the creation week, is so important, because you see who it was that created everything in the beginning. I just thought of all the chapters in the Bible to start out that way gives you the answer to anything you want to know.
Amen and amen. Good points, sis. You know, it was good. Behold, it was good. It says six times, and then the seventh time, he says it was very good. And you know, it's interesting talking about the fourth day. Yeah, he worked on the first day of the week, and the sun was not created on that day. And Moses doesn't even call it a sun. He just says the greater lights rule the day and the lesser lights rule the night. Wonder why he did that. Could it be he was not trying to, he was living in a pagan world that worshipped those bodies, right? So rather than drawing their attention to that which they loved, you know, their sun and their Sunday, he just calls them the greater light and the lesser light. You know, they're in the control of their creator, not the other way around, or something else. I think it's just left my mind. Always have a light. Always have a pen near. It's left me. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord for his word and will. God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit involved in the creation. Absolutely.
Go ahead. There, when the veil that darkens our vision shall be removed, and our eyes shall behold that world of beauty of which we now catch glimpses through the microscope. When we look on the glories of the heavens, now scanned far through the telescope, when the blight of sin removed, the whole earth shall appear in the beauty of the Lord our God. For a field will be open to our study. There the study, the student of science may read the records of creation and discern no reminders of the law of evil,
He may listen to the music of nature's voices and detect the note, no note of wailing or undertone of sorrow. In all created things, he may trace one handwriting. In the vast universe, behold God's name writ large, and not in earth or sea or sky. One sign of ill remaining. Education, page 3034. There the Eden life will be lived, the life in garden and field. They shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Isaiah 65, 22, 23, Education 303, verse 5, chapter 5. There shall be nothing to hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, said the Lord. Isaiah 65, 25. Their man will be restored to his lost kinship, and the lower order of beings will again recognize his sway. The fierce will become gentle and the timid truthful. Education 304, paragraph 1.
There, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and a little child shall lead them. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, saith the Lord. Isaiah 35:1, 55:13, 11, verse 6 and 9. Pain cannot exist in the atmosphere of heaven. Wonderful. There will be no more tears, no funeral trains, no badges of mourning. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, for the former things are passed away. Revelation 21:4. The inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Isaiah 33:24. There is the New Jerusalem, the metropolis of the glorified new earth. A crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, saith the Lord. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The tabernacle of God is with men and women, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. All those were taken from Isaiah 62, verse 3, Revelation 21, 11, and 24, Isaiah 65, 19, and Revelation 21, 3. In the city of God there shall be no night. None will need or desire repose. There will be no weariness in doing the will of God and offering praise to his name. We shall ever feel the freshness of the morning and shall ever be far from its close. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. Revelation 22:5. The light of the sun will be superseded by a radiance which is not painfully dazzling, yet which immeasurably surpasses the brightness of our noontide. The glory of God and the Lamb floods the holy city with unfading light. The redeemed walk in the sunless glory of perpetual day. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Revelation 21:22. The people of God are privileged to hold open communion with the Father and the Son. Now we see through a glass darkly. 1 Corinthians 13:12. We behold the image of God reflected as in a mirror in the works of nature and in his dealings with men. But then we shall see him face to face without a dimming veil between. We shall stand in his presence and behold the glory of his countenance. There the redeemed shall know, even as also they are known, the loves and sympathies which God himself has planted in the soul shall there find truest and sweetest exercise. The pure communion with holy beings, the harmonious social life with the blessed angels and with the faithful ones of all ages who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, the sacred ties that bind together the whole family in heaven and earth, Ephesians 3:15, these help to constitute the happiness of the redeemed. And that was from Great Controversy, page 675 to 677.
Thank you, dear bro. The next quote is basically a repeat. I know some of it was slight repeat on that last one. Thank you. And it never hurts reading it more than once, that's for sure. And it's always good to be able to see what we're reading as well. Fantastic. How illuminating. Helps you remember too. That was a thought I had. Something sisters, Joan mentioned about the Sabbath, and it reminded me of talking to a fellow. He was talking to me about you can be a Christian and work on the mines in WA, you know, the biggest state in Australia. You can do that, James. And I said, oh, I don't think I can without purposefully, willingly breaking the Sabbath of the Lord, the day of the Lord. He said, well, I worship every day. I said, I do too, but God only requires one day to remove from secular work. Oh, but Jesus is my Sabbath. I said, no, Jesus is not a day. Jesus is a human being, and he happens to be the Son of God as well. I didn't quite say like this, but I get excited sharing stories you have, testimonies. And he's listening and he says, oh, but he's my dad. He is our rest. I agree. He is our rest. That's right. But he's not a day. He said, wherefore the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. Sabbath, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Mark 2:27-28. His name's Royce. He once asked for the Sabbath to be taken off after years of working, and he got it. And he was surprised, said, oh, but it took you years to get what you wanted, not the first week you were working there. I said, that's too much of a compromise for me, mate. I mean, a compromise that has to give in to, you know, your employer's demands, even though you might offer them more than other workers would if they'll just respect your convictions. I said, well, I'll keep you in prayer. And I sent him a tract called The Curse of the Law. He kept dwelling on Galatians 3. I said, but the moral law is not a curse, brother. It's a curse when you're breaking it. That's what brings sorrow and suffering and misery if you don't keep all of it. I hope he read it. Anyway, that's what the thought was that I had that Sister Joan brought to my attention. Well, I want to ask you all a question. I'll put the Bible back in the room. I think that's the one. No. Where are you? Okay, there we go. So I want to ask you, and I know this has come up before, but we're going to explore it a little bit more. Question, and you already have the answer probably, no doubt. Question, where will the center of the universe be? So notice future, where will the center of the universe be in the future? And we all read a quote, I think, together. We've read it a couple of times, actually, because it's quite kind of fascinating. I guess I'm a bit fascinated by it. I'll just put it in the room. And it says this in Great Controversy. She says, and I'll make it so you can see it. That would be better. With undimmed vision, they gaze upon the glory of creation, suns and stars and systems, all in their appointed order, circling the throne of deity. Now, if you know where the throne of deity is, it's in the New Jerusalem. So she says, all in their appointed order, circling the throne of deity. So you've got this happening, and the throne of deity's where? On earth. Upon all things, from the least to the greatest, the Creator's name is written, and in all are the riches of his power displayed. Question precisely, the throne of God in the New Jerusalem. Amen. Yeah, so I was thinking in the universe, where will the center of the universe be? So I guess in terms of the body. And of course, to me, that tells me that's going to be the earth will be the center of the universe. We know that the earth rotates around the sun, but the earth will be in the sphere of, you know, everything. It would appear from this statement, and there might be more. I have not looked into that, but I wanted to ask a different question in relation to this. And if anyone wants to share anything on this as well, feel free to share. Because of course I want to ask the question, where is the earth now in terms of the center of the universe? And I've gotten a few excerpts from the center of the universe, the great white throne. It's done by the two scientists, father and son, Robert Gentry and his son, whose name I'm trying to find in the file of my brain. But nevertheless, if someone knows, feel free to share. And I'll put it in the room and we'll look at it together because it is rather interesting, I think. And feel free to refute. I want refutations because it helps us all learn. Yes, it saved it. Okay, great. Okay, well, let's look at it. So excerpts from the center of the universe, the great white throne. To find out, we flash back. So this is a quotes from their video, which you can get online. You can also get it at Free Literature Multimedia. To find out, www.freeliteraturemultimedia.org, oh, there's a plug. To find out, we flash back in time to the early part of the 20th century. By the 1920s, astronomers like Edwin Hubble knew that the Doppler effect could cause spectral line shifts due to the relative motion of the source and observer. A shift toward the blue end of the spectrum called a blue shift was interpreted as motion toward the Earth, and a shift to the red end called a red shift was interpreted as motion away from the Earth. Now, these are just excerpts. I just went to the crux of the matter. It was at Mount Wilson Observatory in the 1920s that Hubble utilized the observatory's new 100-inch reflector, the largest telescope of that day, to discover that light arriving from distant galaxies was redshifted in an orderly way. Perhaps you can see where this is heading. In 1929, he published his findings. The greater the redshift, the greater the distance a galaxy was away from Earth. This was a monumental discovery that modern astronomy has confirmed. Now that's, I should have had that in speech in inverted commas. So end of quote from Mr. Hubble. So why then didn't Hubble report this discovery over 100 years ago? Originally it said 70 because this was done a number of decades ago. His own words provide an answer which involves the strangest chapter in the history of science and doubtless the greatest hoax in the history of science as well. one which is now being exposed for the first time ever. On page 51 of his 1937 book, The Observational Approach to Cosmology, Hubble stated, there's the inverted commas, good to see, the unwelcome supposition of a favored location, like Earth being the center of the universe, must be avoided at all costs. Wow, that sounds really scientific, doesn't it? The unwelcome supposition of a favored location must be avoided at all costs. And why is he saying that? Because everything's redshifted, which means it's going away. All right. No blue. On page 59, I don't know why there's an A there. On page 59, he spoke of ways to escape the horror of a unique position, which was also said to be intolerable. And on page 54, he emphasized there must be no favored location in the universe, no center, no boundary. All must see the universe alike. Wow. These three graphics, so these are excerpts, as I say, these three graphics show, however, this could not be done using the Doppler assumption. If observer one sees redshifts of galaxies, so think about what Doppler says, he's saying it'll be the same everywhere. It doesn't matter if you're millions of miles away, you'll see the same thing you're seeing on the Earth. That was his claim, so that's why it does what it does on this Earth. Yeah, well, you've got to prove that now. These three graphics show, however, this could not be done using the Doppler assumption. If observer one sees redshifts of galaxies moving away from his position, like this, and a distant observer number two sees redshifts of galaxies moving away from his position, so you've got observer one, let's... observer one sees redshifts from galaxies receding from his point of observation. Spelt wrongly there. I couldn't do anything about that. So let's say that's the Earth. So they're seeing redshift of the galaxies. So you got, and then you've got an observer number two who's looking. Observer two sees redshifts from galaxies receding from his point of observation. So they're all seeing redshifts. That's according to the Doppler hypothesis, because he didn't want a favored center of the universe. Then each will observe a universe full of blue shifted galaxies mixed in uniformly with red shifted galaxies, but this has not been observed. In other words, that's not science. So there's, if they're all seeing the same, the red, as he was claiming, Hubble, because he didn't like there being a favored center of the universe, then we'll not see any blue shifted. But it has not been observed. So, look at this. Observer 1 sees red shifts from receding galaxies and blue shifts from approaching galaxies. Okay, that's Observer 1. Observer 2 sees red shifts from receding galaxies and blue shifts from approaching galaxies. Right? Therefore, it was impossible to get rid of the center using the Doppler interpretation of his redshift discovery. Obviously, some other ideas would have to be pursued. So instead of pursuing truth, he and others sought to evade it. This they did by inventing a new untested explanation of the redshift called space-time expansion. This Alice in Wonderland origin of everything was motivated by their determination to so disguise the truth of Hubble's discovery so that the world would never know its true significance. In theory, space-time expansion would cause galaxies to move apart and wavelengths of light to expand as space itself expanded, they said. The first huge problem with this assumption is that it was adopted over 70 years ago, remaining untested until Dave, that was his name, David Gentry, and I, Robert Gentry, did so, and found proof it has always been wrong. Very simply, light wavelength expansion means the loss of energy. The total non-conservation of energy loss of all the light particles in the universe due to this imaginary process equals over 30 million times the mass of the universe. This is the essence of the Big Bang Theory, which is claimed to be one of the greatest scientific discoveries of all time. But it's easy to show it's the greatest hoax of all time. All we have to do is read what three of the great authorities on the Big Bang have to say about trying to convince their physics graduate students that it is genuine. And here's a quote from 3. Of all the disturbing implications of the expansion of the universe, none is more upsetting to many a student on first encounter than the nonsense of this idea. The universe expands. The distance between one cluster of galaxies and another cluster expands. The distance between sun and earth expands. The length of the meter stick expands. The atom expands. Then how can it make any sense to speak of any expansion at all? Expansion relative to what? Because everything's expanding, you see, according to the theory. Expansion relative to nonsense. Yes, that's well put. Only later does he realize that the atom does not expand. So this is the physics teacher explaining. Only later does he realize that the atom does not expand. The meter stick does not expand. The distance between sun and earth does not expand. Only distances between clusters of galaxies and greater distances are subject to the expansion. Only at this gigantic scale of averaging does the notion of homogeneity make sense. Probably pronounced wrongly. Not so at smaller distance. No model more quickly illustrates the actual situation than a rubber balloon with pennies affixed to it, each by a drop of glue. As the balloon is inflated, the pennies increase their separation one from another, but not a single one of them expands. And that's from Gravitation, C.W. Misner, Kip Thorne, and J.A. Wheeler, W.H. Freeman and Company, 1973, page 719, section 27.5. To us, the logical conclusion is that God deliberately created the universe so as to reveal that his throne, the great command center of the universe, is located so astronomically nearby that it could be within our own Milky Way galaxy. I think that's supposed to be that it is, because it is. On this basis, we here on planet Earth are definitely in a privileged position in the universe. It is reasonable that Earth should occupy a special place in the cosmos because the Creator himself lived here for over 30 years. So it's true. Maybe the Earth's not exactly perfectly in the center of the universe right now. It will be in the future, but it's definitely in such a position where it only sees redshifts, which means everything is moving, is having the moving away effect, and there's no blue shift. That was basically the summarization of what I read. But does anyone have anything they want to share, perhaps contrary, or what did they find, or anything else we've talked about so far on reading through Revelations in Revelation?
I think that when a group of people get together to study the Bible, God's Word, that there's no better delusion that the devil can throw up is to get them to go off on a tangent about, well, how big do you think the universe is? And they don't have God's theory of how big it is. He didn't say. But their whole time is taken up when they could be studying God's Word, expounding man's theory of how big do you think it is. I think that's a ploy of the devil, and we just have to be very careful. And when it's studying the Bible, it's studying the Bible. God has it right there in front of them. And we don't want to go off on a tangent expounding our own theories. And I'm not putting down anybody that gets interested in how big space is. But if it's taking your mind away and causing arguments or just wasting time trying to figure out in your own finite mind, it is a waste of time.
Amen. Amen. I think a bigger problem that Hubble wouldn't admit to is they believe that the Big Bang occurred 4.3 billion years ago or something like that. So then if that's really true, and when he looked at galaxies, everything is redshifted in relation to Earth, then that would make Earth the very center of the Big Bang. So that, of course, destroys the whole theory of the Big Bang. if everything is expanding away from the earth because it's all redshifted, then the Big Bang happened right here. But they believe it happened 4.3 billion years ago, way out there at the edge of space. So it just completely contradicted their whole Big Bang theory to see nothing but redshift from the Earth.
Yeah, amen and amen. I think it's interesting that you know, Sister Jane said, we're not told how big the universe is and also how old it is. And so when we talk to evolutionists and that, which are many, it's not hard for us to say how old the earth is, but we couldn't necessarily outright disagree with them regarding other things because we don't know when they were created. You know, they were done in the past. I guess what I'm saying is we know the Earth's about 6,000 years and they laugh at that. So it's really funny for them. But when they speak about the universe, they think the Earth was created as well as everything else and it's billions of years. Whereas we say, no, the Earth is not billions of years. How old is the universe outside of God's creation before he made the heaven and the earth related relative to the earth? We're not told. It could be billions of years. We can't rule that out. We're not given a time. But even saying that, let's say it's not because that relates to evolution. But the point being, the earth and what we know of and what Moses was inspired to write in the Genesis account clearly brings out that that's where we get our 7-day week. And looking at the genealogies, we say that roughly the earth is about 6,000 years. But when it comes to the universe that was already here before the earth and the heavens and the stars that we could see from here existed, we're not told. And so you can actually talk to evolutionists. They probably like hearing that from that one perspective because it's a balanced approach at acknowledging what we do know and what we don't know and proving it through observable evidence and not using hypotheses to all of a sudden make it sound like they're matter of fact in the way that they go about it and get money to do it in the billions of dollars to support their hypotheses. And as Sister Jode said, you can get caught up in it to a point. I'm grateful the Gentry's looked into this because I think it's very helpful. It's that inquisitive mind where they found the radio halos, or the dad did, Robert Gentry. You know, radio halos with a half-life of 3 minutes and they leave these radiation halos on the bones of the earth, you know, the granites. And they shouldn't be there. If this was a molten earth for so long, they would be burnt away. There'd be nothing there, but they're in every rock. That's all they keep finding. So what are you going to do about that? That means instant creation. That's the only way they could be there. And that's the point he brings out on that front.
I just had a thought. You know, they're always dating rocks and things. How do you date a piece of rock that is separated from a comet? How do you date that? It comes from outer space.
Well, it certainly doesn't have a time tag on it. Despite what others will have you believe when you visit their museums. That's a good question, sis. Do you have an answer, by the way? I didn't want to sound sarcastic. I was just thinking of the dinosaurs when, not that I've ever visited a museum with dinosaurs. I only visit museums with gold and that coming from the Kalgoorlie, the gold fields. But they say, oh, this was, you know, 360, you know, probably not 360, I think 64 million years ago and that. And they talk about it as if it's a matter of fact and they know it from start to finish and they don't know. But your question is an interesting one. Our dear Luce couldn't get in online again. Oh dear, I don't know what happened. She's got an error message. We miss her. I'll let her know we all missed her and I'll ring her up after we finish tonight for today. Any last thoughts on what we've looked at so far? I know we haven't read much. We've only read one verse, but it's so fun, you know, spending time and trying to understand it better. Because the more we understand things, no matter how long it takes, the better we'll be able to appreciate it, glorify God, praise Him, and share it with others in a way that is not hard to grasp. And God will help each and every one of us who's an honest seeker after the truth. Hungering and thirsting, to use Jesus's words, who said, they shall be filled.
God has the perfect answer because He says, right now, while you're on earth, you see through a glass darkly. But then, when you're in the earth made new and in heaven, you're gonna see with clear eyes and a clear mind. And we'll have our answers then.
Amen. What a, how well put. You know, I used to have a bus driver co-worker whose name was Eamon. Almost Amen. Eamon. He's Irish. And he said, when I first started working for the company, he said, cause he could see me talking to a Muslim and the Muslim trying to convince me, to become a Muslim and that Jesus was a Muslim. That's another conversation I had with someone at Belmont recently. And he said, you're just not satisfied with what you get. You just want more. And he just walks away. And it's so sad. That's what many are doing. They walk away from what God's offering, that this is not as good as it gets. This was not God's plan. Yes, you see evil in the world, but you also see good, and that's exactly what the Bible teaches. There's a great controversy going on between good and evil, between light and darkness, between Christ, the Son of Righteousness, and Satan, the evil one. Well, we will leave it there for this week and pick it up at verse 6. And go from there. Looking forward to that and more participation and any insights you have to share. It's exciting. I was just talking to Lucy. We had a study in Revelation 22, probably just as well because she's not here. She's not here, unfortunately. And I said to her, you know, Luce, I'm coming to the end of Revelation 22. And I said, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have, and I've talked to her for years about this. Wouldn't it be good if people, we could have evangelistic meetings, you know, obviously having a memorial set up like a building that they can call their own and as a witness to the world, a witness in Little Perth here, you know, that's where we're, our main city is, you know, over a million people. I said, it's not like we don't have truth that is interesting. It's not like it's not interesting. It is. You can make it. You know, with the help of God, you can make it incredibly interesting. I said, it's not impossible. It would help if we had more numbers. But even then, God can do much with few as well as He can do with many. And it's my prayer something more will come out of this. Perhaps I'll share a testimony of my happenings this week with you all. But does any brothers or sisters have anything they'd like to share? Testimonies, song requests, prayer requests, praise sharing, anything else I haven't mentioned? Go right ahead.
Amen. And thank you, brother. And all the other comments here in the room. Just wanted to give you all an update on what's been taking place with lightministry.com website. It's still not online. And as a next to the last resort, I put a forward on it, or a redirect, where when someone clicks on lightministries.com, it would forward them to another domain I have, which is ltblministries.com. And so I submitted the request, and any submission takes 48 hours to be done, or to find out if it was unsuccessful. And it came back as unsuccessful. So I got tied up for about a week and wasn't able to do anything more on it. But last night I decided to call and explain the frustration that I was going through and the desire to transfer the domain from where it currently is to a different registrar. And I had transferred lightministries.com domain to this registrar back on 6/15. So June 15, 60 days is a mandatory wait before I can transfer it to another registrar, and that was up on the 16th of August. So yesterday, the 17th, I called and said that I would like to transfer the domain, and it's not allowing me to do so. I asked them to please take the hold or the lock off the website and to send me an authorization code so that I can transfer it away. And the tech then said, well, why do you want to transfer it from our company? And so I explained the situation to him. And he patiently listened to me and said he was very sorry for all the problems. And I said, yeah, it's been more than 2 months now that this website has not been online. And so as a last resort, I want to transfer it. I said, I've tried to change the A record so that it could point to the hosting company. That has failed. I tried doing this. That has failed. I tried redirecting. That has failed. And I said, now as a last resort, I want to transfer it. And apparently this is failing. So he said, well, let me put a priority on this ticket and try to get it solved. And I said, well, I'd be a very happy person if it could be solved. I said, but everything up to this point has been unsuccessful. And I can't do anything but submit requests to your company. And your company is the one I chose to be the registrar of my domain name. So your company is supposed to follow my requests because it's my domain name and I'm paying you to manage it for me. But so far, you're not managing it the way I've asked you to do so. So the last resort is I want to transfer it, but now I can't transfer it. And so I said, he goes, well, let's focus on the redirect. I'll submit a ticket to have it redirected. And I said, well, that was my third choice. My first choice was to have the website online. My second choice was to move the hosting to a different host. My third choice was to redirect it, so that at least when people click on lightministries.com, it sends them to a different website or a different domain that has the website. I said, so can we please try step one? If that fails, go to step two. If that fails, go to step three. And the last resort is transfer it. So he says, yes, I'll get it all taken care of for you, Mr. Sessler. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of you. And I said, well, thank you so much. And I said, have a wonderful day and a great weekend coming. And then this tech says to me, thank you, Mr. Sessler. I will have a great weekend as I go to church on Sunday. So that told me that all the texts that I've talked to and have asked them to visit truechurchofgod.info have come into connection with the Sabbath issue. And it has spread around that whole phone bank company. I don't know how many people are there, but you can hear them talking in the background, right? Other phone people. So it has gone around that entire company or that entire phone bank area. And this particular tech has already made his mind up at that point that Sunday is the day he's going to church. So anyway, I then checked this morning and of course there has been no change. So then I called. Yeah, amen. That's true. That's true. A ginormous witness for him. So the whole issue of Sabbath Sunday is gone in that phone bank area. So then I contact the current host for lightministries.com and explain the situation. That the website is still not up. I've paid them to host my site for more than 2 months. They haven't done so. And so, you know, I'd like to transfer the host from them to someone else. But I said, if you can get the site up, I'll keep the hosting with you. And so the tech was very apologetic and he said, he goes, let me put you on hold. I'll talk to the next level of support. So he comes back about 3 minutes later and he says, I've talked to the next level of support and they will go in. They will change your A record on your web, on your domain, and they'll have the lightministry.com site on the web in 4 hours. And this was like 7:30 this morning. I said, did I hear you right? You say 4 hours, not 24 or 48 hours? And he goes, yes, sir, 4 hours. And I said, if that happens, I will be an extremely happy camper, you know? So I checked at 11:30. I checked at 3 something. I checked just before the meeting, and it's still down. So it's like the website is being held captive. My requests are being ignored or they're being purposely manipulated so that the site remains offline. And so my next step is to contact ICANN, which is the overruling body or the overseeing body for all domains, and to explain what's been happening here and how I would like to be able to transfer this domain from the registrar that's currently keeping it hostage to a different registrar. So even though he said 4 hours, I'll give it 48 hours like that has been in the past. But at least a good portion of the website is online through ltblministries.com. So it is online, a good part of it. Yeah, it is being held hostage. When you ask, when you pay for someone to manage your possession and they do not manage it according to your requests, and then there's evidence of a disagreement in the ideas put forth or connected with your property. What other conclusion can you come to than it's being manipulated against my wishes, or my wishes are being ignored? I've even gone in and changed things, and it says your change has been accepted, but then 48 hours later, it comes back saying your change has been unsuccessful. So it has been accepted as and is completed, but I see no change in the area of the website showing up online or being transferred to a different host. And then 48 hours later, I get an email saying that it's been unsuccessful. Well, why was it unsuccessful when it said it was completed? So it has been a very interesting situation through all of this. And you can definitely see the great controversy being played out. And you can see God is using this whole issue to spread the message to individuals that would not in any other way come into contact with the truth than through this particular situation. And well, that's true. Prayer and fasting may be the only way. That's true. Yeah, the freedom of speech is being taken away. It's most definitely true. So that's where it currently is. And again, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your thoughts and your help in this whole issue. And to God be the glory through all of this.
Amen, Elder Robin. Truly, we are keeping that in prayer for sure. And I think truly in that and in many ways that we are seeing, and I can attest to that here myself, the closer we see that Christ is to come, the more of these little subtle and maybe not so subtle annoyances will be happening. I know personally for me here, for my mom and I, sometimes it's not, you know, it's a little difficult for me to get my lawn done and things like that in as timely a manner as I would like, by the fact that working every day and not being able to get out there like 10 o'clock in the morning during the week. Generally, I get it done by God's grace on Sundays. So one of my neighbors on that has previously helped me with the lawn and things like that, and we've had discussions on more than one occasion, you know, while, yes, I thank him for his help and assistance, just please never on Sabbath. So, and interestingly enough, this particular neighbor has told me, because we've had different discussions some time ago, that he was actually brought up in the Sabbath truth. So he knows about the Sabbath. So two Sabbaths ago, which would have been August 5, on the 4th, he cut his portion of the lawn, which is right next to ours in the little mobile area where we live. It's so close together, the properties. If one does their lawn and the other one doesn't, it really shows up and doesn't look good. So a lot of times he will do our lawn as well, which, yes, I thank him for that. It's just that I have to be able to do it when I can. But if they want to help, then please observe our wishes and just not on Sabbath. And I've mentioned this to him many times. But so Friday the 4th, he did his lawn. And I said, okay, good. He didn't touch ours. I'll get to it Sunday by God's grace. Well, Sabbath the 5th, he's out there cutting ours. And I'm like, no. And I just had the feeling that he was doing that to kind of have some kind of confrontation for me to go out and things like that. And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. So I've been praying about it. And because it's like, I need to let him know, yes, I thank you for cutting, but please observe our wishes and not doing it on Sabbath. What you do with your lawn on whatever day you choose to do it, it's between you and God. And so this past Thursday, when it was trash day, I was putting my trash out in the morning, and he happened to come out, and he was like, oh, good morning, neighbor. I said, yes, good morning, neighbor. How are you? I said, long time no actual speak. And I said, listen, thank you so much for doing our lawn, but as you know, please don't cut on Sabbath. We observe the Sabbath. And he started laughing, and he says, yeah, but it was like a joke for him. And he says, yeah, I do it with all the love of the heart and things like that. I said, yes, much appreciated. Just not on Sabbath. He says, yeah, I thought about coming out there this Sabbath. And he started laughing. And I told my mom, I said, but that's not a laughing matter. And I wasn't laughing. You know, it's like, I'm not trying to start World War X, but at the same time, by God's grace and with his help, I will stand for God. Because, you know, God is not to be trifled with. He's not to be laughed at or what have you. His word is true. And I just said, I just continue to pray, you know, because that, how can that be a laughing matter? So I truly understand.
It's second dead if you don't stop it.
Well, I mean, we don't wish for that. But at the same time, I mean, even one of my brothers was like, no, don't say anything. I mean, it's not on you. No, I said, no, but I have to say something. It's not that he doesn't know, because he does know, and the neighbors around me know. And even one neighbor who was cutting, and in the midst of cutting, I said, look, I know that you're just trying to be kind, and I appreciate that, just not on Sabbath. And if that's, you know, not going to be good for you, then it's okay. I will get to it with the help of the Lord as soon as I can, you know. And so I don't understand why it's like, what's the word? A joke, yeah. So I solicit prayer for that, because I guess it's just the sign of the times now, like what's happening with you, Bill, to Rob. I think that they know exactly what they're doing, but they're like, no, this website is talking about Saturday being the Sabbath, or worshiping God on Saturday, and no, we're going to worship him on Sunday, kind of like defiant. And all I can say is that God give us the strength to be able to endure these tests, but at the same time to still stand strong, and still witness for him to still stand strong for him. So I totally understand what you mean by that. And while yes, I thank the Lord for the help that the neighbor tries to give and things like that, but at the same time, it is not a laughing matter about the Sabbath. I'm not going to laugh about that. And at the same time, you know, I don't know how else to reach him. I've given literature. We've spoken about it. We pray, you know, he'll pass by when I'm sitting working in my area, and the window is there. You can see me sitting there, because I have to have it open to be able to see my work and things. And he'll roll down his window and wave and say hello and pat the heart like, yeah, I'm praying for you. I'm like, yes, hello, I'm praying for you as well. But I don't know how to reach him. So I just keep that in prayer. It is in God's hands. It's just, it can be frustrating. So I do feel your frustration, Elder Rob, and definitely keeping that in prayer, because it's kind of like, I think the closer we get to the Lord's coming, the more defiant we're going to see those who perhaps even know the truth. And definitely big hugs to you as well, dear Elder Rob and family. But, you know, at the same time, it's kind of like they want to get a rise out of you. They want to have some kind of controversy going and probably think it's funny. You know, it's interesting. And all I can say is, you know, God's will be done. And what else can you do but say, Lord, your will be done?
God wants back.
Well, we don't know that, Mom. I definitely don't pray for something bad to happen to them, just that God will let them know, you know. And it's like even my brothers, you know, in trying to reach them, one especially is just kind of really selfish, you know. He'll come over and bring things or what have you. Recently, this past Wednesday the 9th, he came over and brought a little something for my mom when she gave her another year and things like that. And he bought drink for himself. I said, oh, I haven't been to the store, so I just have water if you'd like some water. And he's like, no, I got drink for me. And I'm like, okay, but you bought food. But for, and he made sure to take out what he wanted first before even giving it to mom. Anyway, I'm not boring you with my stuff. It's just, I just see how, you know, we're told the Lord's Holy Spirit is being lifted from the earth. What is the verse? Matthew 24:12, for iniquity shall abound and the love of many waxes full. And I'll end with that because I think ultimately that's what's happening. People don't realize the lateness of the hour. And I guess it's like a joke to them. I don't know. But all we can do is continue to pray and ask the Lord to keep us strong until the end. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's similar to the issue I'm going with because lightministries.com is my property, but I have no control over it. And similar with that portion of your lawn, that's your property, but your neighbor's cutting it for you against your wishes. So it's like you have no control over that portion of your property. And it's intentional. And that's what's so frustrating is it's your property. You control it, but that control is being taken away from you. And I think it's done to get a rise out of you, like you mentioned, to try and bring an unchristian response. And you can see the devil's all behind it because that's exactly what he wants you to do. He wants you to be unchristian so that he can then turn around and accuse you of being a sinner and not a follower of Christ, and Christ should disown you, and now you cross the line and you should just give up and throw your hands in despair and walk away from it all. I mean, that's, in a nutshell, that's exactly what is taking place. So we'll definitely be keeping you in prayer, and thank you for your prayers for me and others as well that are going through this great controversy.
Amen and amen. Definitely. Oh, go ahead, sis. I saw that. You better talk.
I had put my bubble up to talk, but then I didn't want to cross dear brother James. He was about to talk, but he saw me put it on right quick. So, but anyway, I was just going to say that is so true. I just strongly felt that, you know, if I had gone out there two Sabbaths ago, it was definitely because he knows. It was just like he wanted to get some kind of rise or confrontation, and I wasn't going to do it. And I said, nope, not going to do it. And even though it was bugging the living daylights out of me every 2 seconds, I'm running from one window and going to it. I'm like, yeah, that's definitely him cutting our lawn. No. But I'm like, nope. He wants me to come out there and say something, and I'm not going to do it. Because he knows, you know. And then to basically just laugh and then make it like a joke. It's like, but it's not a joke. He isn't. So, dear Elder Rob, we just keep each other in prayer. As for, you know, dear Brother James and all of our dear brethren that are on the front lines, dear Sister Rose and all of her ministry, and Brother Joel in Africa, we all keep each other in prayer because I know all of us, through our own little mountains, we're going through, you know, our own little trials. Sister Susan there with the neighbor trying to be very Christian-like, to say the least. So we're all going through our own little issues that only through prayer and, you know, as I said, sometimes only through prayer and fasting to break the enemy's hold on trying to really get a rise out of us to just give up. And by his grace, we don't want to do that.
Amen and amen. Thank you for sharing those insights on something of your week and how God is helping you get through it. The devil wins when we reveal his character, doesn't he? And that's the constant trial every one of us are facing throughout the world, to not be the old James, you know, the old self, but to be new creatures, molded after the divine similitude under provocation. We definitely keep you and Brother Bob and others in prayer and what they have shared. And thank you for keeping us in prayer. It was a very interesting Belmont swap meet last Sunday. I wasn't sure if the Muslim was going to stop talking to me, but he came around, good old Muhammad, not quite Muhammad, but Muhammad, and we were talking. It was so quiet until he came along and I was reading quietly. And we got talking. He's telling me why you should be a Muslim and that. And I said, Muhammad, I have some things to tell you. Muslim. He says, I said, he wasn't a Muslim. He said, Muslim just means a servant of God. I said, yes, but the God that you serve and the God he served were two different things. Two different beings. And he said, but Moses. I said, yes, you're talking about the first five books of the Bible, the Bible you don't read? Yes, you should read them. You will love Jesus in them, because that's what he spoke of. Oh, but the Holy Spirit, who do you think the Holy Spirit was? It wasn't Muhammad. I said, Muhammad, if you just read just the book of John, just chapter 14 of John, you would know this. You can't say that was Muhammad. He came 600 plus years later. But the Holy Spirit in power came to the disciples in the first century. Well, he wasn't thinking much. He wouldn't take a Bible. I did encourage him to read it, because he doesn't like reading it. But other people did take stuff, and that's been a thrill. I did get my tickets for traffic controlling and a white card, praise the Lord. It was very easy, and they made it very easy for all of us. So the next step, I'm a bit sad while I'm looking for work, because I know I hope I get a job first and foremost, because I need an income. I'm nearly at the end of my bank account. Luce has kindly offered to lend me money if I run into a ditch. You know, when you start a new job and you've got to pay for everything, you've got to stay with them. And if you get any reimbursements, you've got to be there for at least 3 months. So anyway, God's brought me this far. That's why I think I was getting a little bit sad and at the same time excited with Lucy this morning. I said, there's got to be people, Luce, here, if they could just have a good opportunity to recognize the truth. I keep saying to people that the truth, the movement is in its infancy. I said, but I've been saying that for many years, and I know it will grow in the people who are interested in receiving it, but people like to reject it as well. They like to let you know that they're rejecting it as well. I don't know if your neighbor's Santos, Sister Lynn, I meant to ask that question, but that's how he comes across. He knew the truth. He's putting it in your face, as it were, to provoke. And he doesn't even realize that the devil is using him as a tool. And that's what makes you pity him. That's what makes you pity people like the Muslim I was talking to. Because you can see they're just the blind leading the blind. I have one man talking about every time I'd share a Bible truth, he'd renege on it. He'd talk about the health laws, no, you're saying this, that, and the other. And because he had a bit of an audience, because someone else was there, but he didn't know him. He doesn't know him much. He's an agnostic. He doesn't believe a word we say anyway. But anyway, just take the opportunity to share more truth and show them more love them to Jesus and help them see. And that respect, if they really think that they're helping you, they will also respect your spiritual convictions about God and His law and His will for our lives and for their lives as well. Amen. So I'm so thrilled. I got to, you know, one step closer to entering into the field of traffic controlling. And, it was rather interesting. I talked to the teacher. I said, he kept mentioning smoker and always had to be smack on 10. Doesn't matter if we're in the middle of, we'll just stop it there. So we go. I loved his order. He was really good about it. But I said, or you can always give up smokes. And he just looked at me. And then eventually, because he kept mentioning Smoko, and I said, would you take a free book from me? It will really help you. And you'll, of course, save money. It was, you can quit tobacco. And he said, nope. And then the last day came, and we got talking, and that must have had an hour of talking. He said, well, you can do whatever you like. We have to wait here for an hour. He was really an interesting kind of a teacher. He said, I don't think I have to teach you anything more. And the last thing I said to him, one of the last things, you sure you don't want the book? Because I feel for you. He said, no, especially after what I'd been through and what he shared. He shared some things going on at work. So he didn't take anything. And one of the students, he forgot his lunch. And we went in my car and I had my lunch and everyone else had their lunch. The teacher didn't tell us we need to bring our lunch. He's a bit like that at times. I said, I'll take you back. I don't want you to miss out. And I thought, well, I'm going to miss out a little bit of time because it's the short lunches. You don't. Well, actually, it was not bad, the timing, actually, but I'd have to be driving. I said, I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to pray over the lunch before we head off. And I prayed over it. And he didn't say anything, et cetera. And I started eating. I said, we got him back to his place. And while we were talking, of course, I had to talk to him about things because he thought, oh, are you a Jehovah Witness? Or are you a, no, I'm not. And I started talking about the Sabbath and what distinguishes, Christians who are following all the Bible and those who are not. God loves them still just as he loves non-Christians and he wants them to have a saving relationship with him and the upheaval that sin has wrought and the separation that's caused. And, so that was really good. That's probably the last time I got to talk about things like that with him. But any opportunity, you know, you put a tract in the toilet, that's a good place, isn't it? But I think it's, there was one thing I have to tell you all, and I told the lady, I will tell my brothers and sisters online. And that is one lady in the process of talking to, sometimes you get no interruptions and then you get every interruption at the swap meet, which is great. It's welcome. You sort of miss, you know, torn between two lovers, like the what I'm reading, and just depending what they're going to talk about, sometimes they're balking you, which is fine. It helps you bring out the truth again and again. But she said her daughter is getting demon attacks, demonic attacks. And she talked, and I've got her name down here. Esther Hughes is the mother, and her daughter, Mary is the mother's name. Her daughter's name is Esther. So very biblical. So you've got Mary the mum, Esther the daughter, and Esther has been having demonic attacks. She used to go out with a warlock whom she's no longer with, has no association with. She's still having demonic attacks every day, demonic experiences. And it's good that they're saying they're demons because it seems like she understands the state of the dead, though I'm not really sure how she could know that except someone faithfully shared that with her. She's not a Sabbath observer that I can tell, but she could be. I don't know. But she talked about everything she's not doing now. What she used to do, she's given up. She's not into the occult. She said, because I actually quizzed her, you know, is she doing this, that, and the other? And she already shared some of the things. She said she's not into the occult. She's not dating that warlock or anyone that has anything to do with those sorts of things. She said, I think he's cast a spell on her, James. I said, well, that's, you know, he's nothing. And so is the devil that's allowed that to have the appearance of having greater power over God if she gives her life and her sins to Jesus. And I thought we were going to pray over her, but then she told me she lives in Bunbury, which is about an hour and a half away. So I said, okay. And she said, no, the reason I'm seeing you today, James, is because I visit Perth every 8 weeks and I help a person who's disabled for 3 days and head back home. But I'd like to think I'm going to see you again. I see if you ever want to contact me, all my details on the front and back of everything you've taken. And she asked me, have you got anything on this? I said, yes, witchcraft ruins lives. She said, I saw that. I said, yes, that will go into greater detail than just Harry Potter and the occult on that front. But it'll go into greater detail and that will be helpful, but, if you want to stay in contact, but I did say, and thank you for keeping it in prayer, Esther Hughes and Mary, her mother who told me about her daughter and this demonic, influence that's going on, apparently every day. You know, it's rather interesting. I didn't share this with you, but about 2 weeks ago, I had a dream about my mother. And, you know, like dreams, I think Brother Dick said it well. Dreams are good, aren't they? Because they seem so real, but they're not. And the dream was Mum. I didn't know it was Mum, but I was talking to someone at a train station trying to work out the right ticket to get and that. And it was a strange dream because I wasn't getting answers and the people that were helping me weren't helping me all the way. And then I saw this woman with her back turned to me and I knew it was my mum, or so it looked, and the clothing and that. And she just turned around and looked at me. And of course it just looked like Mum. And she didn't make any sound. She didn't say, oh James, why are you here? Nothing. She just looked at me. And all I could think in my head, and I thank God I'm a Christian now, a Bible Christian, Bible believing, following Christian by the grace of God, that I thought in my dream, I said, wait a minute, is this before she died or after? Because you know what I was thinking in my dream, you know, is this a dream of what something had happened in our life or this is after? And isn't that cunning of the devil? She says nothing. She doesn't even run up to me. It's almost like she didn't even really know me. But it definitely, Mum, you know, like we're all quite unique. She didn't have a twin sister look alike. And it just left it like that. And I thought, I really like the fact that I thought in my head, is this before or after she died? Because that's the subtlety of the devil. Any way he can bring you down. He uses sympathies. He uses any way, emotions that he can bring you to his side. And he knows he's a loser when we follow Jesus. That's why he does it. Because he'll do anything and everything. But the one thing he won't do is give glory to God and his son, Jesus Christ. Won't obey the Ten Commandments and won't teach us to do the same. So thank you. Is there any further testimonies, any further things anyone would like to share?
Oh. Happy Sabbath and Sabbath blessings. Glad I can hear a lot of testimony, a lot of talks, and I did not want to say much, but I'm only saying thank God that he has kept us through all these days, very difficult times. And my only interesting and fascinating issue is our reading on Zoom with the Bishop of Upper Hill. It's going on very well and fantastic. And I was now thinking, the burden that was on my head now, anybody can come in through the internet and share with them anything he has. And that is now, because we sacrificed the whole of this month and gave it to Jeannie to read with us the prophecies of Daniel 11 and 12, and this is now the third week. Next week will be going in the fourth week, and then we'll finish with the other coming week. Thereafter we shall go for the camp meeting, and I believe they will invite me because the Lord has put influence on them that they now believe in what I request them to do, and that he has opened a grand opportunity that we can now pass our message to them through this program of Zoom. So I'm very thankful that we are progressing on well with them, and the Lord is doing something which I didn't expect, that every week we join Zoom with them, at least I see more numbers coming in, because it used to be 10, 12, but I can now see every week there are new people entering in the room, and they say, this is my first time, and you know, I'm a member there, but I've not been joining. You know, that's the bottleneck of most of our African brethren. One, they don't have internet. Two, even if when they have, they may not afford the pay. And now that we have to go for them, that God opened the way for me, and he said, Joel, you know, you'd be looking speakers for us. Since they separated from the main SCDA church. Now, those who were getting salaries could not follow them. And now they were in a gap of lacking speakers. And now I say, now this is a grand opportunity. If somebody who has separated from the SCDA and they also separated from the SCDA is given a chance to look for speakers, then that is now my burden. Two is that we have to look for lessons that fit their need in the very time we are in. Now, it's always very difficult that you look for this lesson and talk to them. Now, I'm only saying that after Gene reading with them what he has in mind, still there will be gap. Who, again, and the... I was with the feeling that I don't want to be very monotonous to them. Now that we pick somebody from this way, so that they talk. Cause they had gone a level of fishing anybody from anywhere. But I thank God that a number of people are joining from different destinations, Nigeria, South Africa, I mean Rwanda, and all around. And that's a very great opening to me. I did not experience it in life, but now we're experiencing. I can see that we are now exposed to very many people around. It's not that we are doing very great, not that we know too much of what God has put in us, but I'm only saying that the leading of God, opening up ways that we can prepare to pass the message he has put amongst us to many people. The other part is to live for the Holy Spirit to touch every heart that has listened, because they don't see us physically. Now, the other remaining parts of organizing baptism and so on to come into the church, against no towers, we are saying, let's pass the message to all people from their different destinations, and then the Lord will do a great work. In that way, I see the Lord joining his people to do wonderfully with them, to different people from different destinations like we are now. This one here, I'm seeing it very great and miraculous. And the one thing that I would love to do physically is that because they don't record these messages, we read to them or we pass through them, is that God opens from means that we can have some of our messages printed to them so that we can go and supply to them. You know, it was initially 52 churches in Nairobi that came out of the main SDA organization because of their other differences. But then it is also another conference in Kisi, where also and Isaac, where Isaac also churches in Korea. But what is now important and true is that we need now to have some of these printed lessons and send to them. That will be another addition of doing greater work to them, that what they are lacking from online studies, they can now deeply read by themselves through this first. Probably if we can get the I can say SOP books And to some extent, Pastor Jim, because I believe in Kenya, the Kis region is full of Adventism, less Catholicism, but still our lessons are unique and different. They need to touch the people to understand the message for now, because there have been nominal, I can call them nominal Adventists, and to some level, they take things like in normal SDA churches. They may not know we are in a very political period of time that Christ is soon to come. So we need to take these lessons physically after Zoom. Now, even also to also give grand opportunity for those people to see people talking to them. I know, Brother James, you cannot travel from Australia to Africa, Kenya, but when the opportunity comes, then we would love to come and see them physically. Otherwise, I thank God for opening that innovation that we can talk to people while at home, but to different destinations. I only have one challenge here in Uganda that probably things may toughen because our economy has been dependent so big on donor and the World Bank, but because they signed a law against lesbian, now they said no more fund, no more loans to Uganda because of ABC. They are well trained a number of issues. And here now our president is gambling to do cuts in the budgets so that the people survive. But in doing that, things may harden and toughen, things may hiken, prices, and we see hard days ahead. But we are not replacing it. You pray for us that is the devil's way of putting minions in his control, that you may not have access to pass out the message. However, the internet will remain and we shall pass out. Now, the physical reaching to people may have hurdles. I only pray and request that as we move to them, let's go to them with some printed materials from what you've been sharing verbally and virtually. So thank you for your prayers. Linus, thank you for your support. Everybody, thank you for whatever you have done that has made us what we are, that we can now talk to them and think we are very powerful people. And they say, Brother Joel, thank you. These are very good messages we have been looking for, and we ideally love to have them and listen to them. So thank you, everybody, for what you do for us in Africa, for what you do that we are able to pass it on. Otherwise, I'm only saying, put the camp meetings that is slated for 2nd of September in the prayers, and also pray for me that I may get minutes to travel there by that timing, because I dearly love to hear from me physically and also see the person organizing, leading them in this wonderful deep studies for them. Thank you so much for all you do. May the good Lord bless you and open the way so that many are called into the flock of Jesus, and when he comes, many will be saved in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for listening to me.
Well, thank you, dear brother, for that exhilarating, uplifting and exciting report. It's always good to get an audible report. We love your reports in the Sabbath Remnant Voice magazine and the other brethren that shared their testimonies and the great things God is doing for them. How exciting. There's so many different avenues, isn't there? to do work for God. And if you feel like you're incapable of doing much, whatever we're capable of doing by the grace of God with our whole heart in it, it is accepted. And we are blessed. God's purpose for each and every one of us. Are there any last thoughts, song requests before we have a close of prayer and then ask Brother Dick to sing us away?
If you will give Sister Lucy some big huggies from us, tell her we miss her. We're keeping her in prayer.
Will do, and I'm sure she would send her hugs back. She has sent a text to me, James, I can't sign in. It comes up with an error message, so this is new. So I don't know what's, I know the devil doesn't want her to come. So hopefully we can sort out a way that, have a bit more time when she comes across these issues. So she'll be here. But thank you, sis, and others. I will send that to her. She's, I don't know if I've told you this, but, she's actually she's just been told about a week and a half ago that she's not, she's not going to get her car license back. So, and also the doctor said she'll need a carer. So her daughter's offered and they're looking for a place to live. I'm not sure if I've shared that with you. I'm not sure if Lucy's happy that I share it with you. But if we keep it in prayer with one another, and hopefully something really good comes out of this. More time with her dear daughter that she feels a bit estranged from in some ways. And maybe her daughter feels the same way to Lucy. So hopefully things will be done while they can be done. Anything and everything that can be done. To set before others that God is love and they see that love in our lives and the changes he's bringing out in us for the better. Well, it's been a privilege to be with you all as usual and never to get used to it. I don't know if you've ever read The Pioneers. They always talked about how this is the best camp meeting we've ever had. And then the next time, this is the best camp meeting. They'd always word it differently, Alan White and the different pioneers, James White. And that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Always getting a better, greater experiences. So may every meeting you and I have, but with ourselves, with God in the mountain, with one another, if there's only another brother or sister, or with online like this or hundreds, that they'll only get better. Nearer to God. Nearer to God. As Ellen White once put it, eternity will be an ever approaching to God. Let's have a word of prayer. Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for these precious opportunities. I know that I'm not going to forget about them, and I pray for your grace to never forget them. And our brothers and sisters are blessed because it contributes to our spiritual well-being in a world that seems dark and cold to the claims of God upon them. And there's so much ignorance that abounds, or perhaps another thing, provocation, and they don't even know that's what's stirring them on to say and do things that they would hate to meet in a judgment that they claim doesn't exist, but will be, they wish to feign themselves from when the time comes and they are judged. Thank you that there is a judgment, a final judgment, because it means the eradication of sin and sinners. It means the continuation of thy blessed will for your created universe, that is the existence, the purpose of life being fulfilled in love for God with a whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. What a place heaven must be, and what a place earth can be by the help of God in our own lives, personally, socially, and corporately, with one another in the faith, and in a world that doesn't know Jesus or has a very disturbed view about Jesus or Christians or both. Lord, please move upon the individual who shared with Brother Bob regarding Sunday as his Sabbath to realize, and others in the call center, that one might believe something to be true and claim it for antiquity because it's been believed, but it doesn't make anything turn to truth, no matter how hoary with age it may be. Help them see and realize that this is a matter of fact, and if they're wrong, they'll be wrong willingly, either being willingly ignorant or not wanting to accept what they've found, and that this is not in their favor in the judgment, because it wouldn't work in earthly things and secular things, and it won't work with God who created us. We also uphold Lynn's neighbor and Sister Mars, that the neighbor will come to his senses and realize that the joy of Sabbath observance, your moral law is called commandments, and I think in the English language it's looked like as do this and don't do this, do this and don't do this, and yet the reality is the tone, the love in it is, if you want peace, do this. If you want joy, don't do that. That it's out of love that they're there, and I hope and pray, we ask that you would help him realize he's got the blessing waiting for him, and to respect the rights of others' property, including website owners, Elder Bob, and to realize that that's being a good neighbor, respecting. And for us as a people, as Christians, we live in governments where they think that government, we live in a world now, perhaps more than ever in the world, where governments think they give us the rights when they don't. God gives us the rights that we have, and the governments are supposed to protect them. Help us help people see it and think clearly. Help us present it clearly and help them see that you separate God and you separate from all the rights that a human being has as a created being endowed with these rights, and the privilege of governments protecting them. Not giving them, but protecting them. We already have them. Thank God for this truth. We thank you. And thank you for giving us the blessing of hearing others' experiences throughout the week, including Brother Joel's, having such success in sharing the separation message where dear souls want to make the next step, even a willingness to be baptized again, rebaptized. Perhaps some of them, perhaps many of them are thinking this way. Thank you for blessing their efforts. May the further meetings that all of us have, including, of course, Brother Joel online and offline, be intensely interesting and increase in us, Jesus, the love for the truth, that we will have our conversation in heaven and ever be working with one another and through prayer, the best ways and modes of giving the world the whole everlasting gospel with the four angels' messages. And thank you for having done this and continuing to be willing to do this. Dear God, may our brothers and sisters, as they go to prepare for bed or a welcoming in Sabbath, may it be a real refreshment from the week you've safely brought us through. Show us more wonderful things out of thy word. help us understand ourselves better so that we can come nearer to Jesus, getting rid of anything that's stopping this nearness from taking place. And for those who have the Sabbath here, or the day hours upon us, that our efforts to become more like Jesus will be holy, as the hymn was sung. If we're scared, if we're worried, if we're fearful of a temptation that we know we're so weak to overcome, to fear not, to not bear the burden, but to give it to Jesus and to trust in him, to do what he's told us, to have victory constantly. Thank you for understanding our needs before asking for them and fulfilling to us in the present exactly what needs to take place for our salvation. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for your presence. I know it's a digital presence, but it's also a physical one. The Holy Spirit is real and can be everywhere at once, and indeed is. And what a blessing. We have such protection internally as well as externally. Till we meet again, have a wonderful, blessed Sabbath that's ahead for you all. Let us not let it get away from us, but draw us nearer to God and keep looking up. Hugs and love till his perfect timing. Well put. God bless.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.